No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All righty. Welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics Wednesday. Mike, Jake, and Tyler, we are here today. We are recapping the Badgers' win over Northwestern, against Northwestern, and we will be previewing the Badgers' matchup with Penn State. If you are interested, Jake and I hopped on with Scary Alvarez. He runs a good podcast. He runs a really great Twitter account over on X.com. We jumped on with him on Monday. He put that out yesterday. It was a fun time to talk some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today in just a little bit of different of ways, and have some conversations with Scary, which is always enjoyable, and we're going to work on having him on for our Badgers basketball primer, which is going to be coming up next Friday, not 2 days from now, but the following Friday. We're going to have our Badgers basketball primer. So we're very excited for that as well. But today we have the Badgers recap preview, and then Jake and I are doing our Milwaukee Bucks bold predictions and record predictions tonight because the Milwaukee Bucks start regular season basketball. So here we go.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All righty, so we're going to start with recapping Northwestern against Wisconsin. Badgers won 23-3, are outscoring their opponents 117-16 in the last 3 weeks. So let's go to the defensive side of the ball first. And Mike, we'll start with you. What stood out to you from the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, that point differential still, you love to see that, right?
But I bring it up every time I get the opportunity.
Yeah, and no, I don't think any quarterbacks want to throw to the secondary, at least not in 3 weeks, right? I mean, Jack Lausch was held, Northwestern quarterback, was held to 9 of 24 for 82 yards for a 23.0 QBR. The only reason why Northwestern, I think, moved the ball at the end of the day was because there's a couple situations where Northwestern had a couple third and longs, and Jack Lausch was able to scramble out and get 10, 15 yards a couple times. But other than that, this secondary was stout. We don't even hear Rico's name anymore, all for good reason, right? Nobody wants to ever throw him the ball.
Yep.
He never really gets any opportunities. I think that could change this Saturday, finally, probably since our secondary is getting tested, or USC, I guess, too, obviously. But it was good all around. Hunter Waller and Preston Zachman once again put together a really good game. Hunter Waller had that sick tackle for loss in the backfield. He was pumped. 5 total tackles for him. Preston Zachman, 3 total tackles, but he had 2 big-time pass deflections in this game. And Austin Brown was the other, just the main guy that did get some safety time, a little bit of nickel corner as well, but he had 5 total tackles as well in 36 snaps, so looking good there. And then, as I said with Rico, 42 snaps, but I mean, he had 1 pass deflection, but again, you don't hear his name really anymore, but it's all for good reason, so that's just important to point out. The one thing to monitor after this game, it was after the first play, freshman Xavier Lucas was in the game. He had a really nice pass deflection. Unfortunately, I believe it was Preston Zachman collided with him a little bit, and he had to leave the game.
Thought it was Waller.
I thought it was Zachman, but either way, he had a nice pass deflection, but unfortunately he had to leave. I believe they said it was an upper body injury. I don't know
if he landed flat on his back.
Yeah. I don't think of what they named the actual injury, though, yet, so that'll be interesting.
They don't usually in college. It's kind of weird. They don't have to disclose as much at the college level.
So we might not even find out until hell Friday or even Saturday, an hour before 4 o'clock at night or 4 or 5 o'clock at night being a night game. So definitely something important to monitor. I think we're definitely going to need him in this game, and it's not this week, the rest of the season for sure. And then Nizer Forkreen did step in, though. He played all 56 snaps and did have 3 total tackles. So another good week for the secondary, making quarterbacks look stupid, I guess, for the third week in a row. So very, very good week all around.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with Nizer Forkreen. I thought he had a really good game. For me, going from the secondary to the linebackers, it was a limited amount of snaps, but Christian Allegro again stood out. He had 1 coverage snap. I thought he played really well. Darrell Peterson, he had a bat down on a 2nd and 15 play after the Badgers had the blocked field goal or the field goal blocked. So Darrell Peterson was helping out. John Pius forced a fumble late in the first half. So looking at it, after Wisconsin got stopped on 4th down inside the 10, Jake Chaney sniffed out a screen, minus 3 yards. They stopped a tight end crosser for 3 yards, and then Christian Allegro got a big hit on the quarterback. So right after a 4th down stop in the red zone, the Badgers linebackers immediately responded with several good plays. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, or the pressure side of the ball, Badgers had 13 pressures, 4 by John Pius, 3 by Sebastian Cheeks, both of those guys transfers. So shout out to the transfers for coming up. Jaheim Thomas is also a transfer, but Thomas and Peterson each had 1. So 9 of the 13 pressures that the Badgers had came from the linebackers. Yep. John Pius also had the strip sack that, and then Sebastian Cheeks was in on the safety. So more good pass rush by the linebackers is really encouraging thing to see. Something that we've been talking about a lot over the last few weeks is wanting to see more out of the pass rush. Jake's going to talk about the D-line and that as well. But Jaheim Thomas, 7 tackles with 4 run stops. Christian Allegro played 10 defensive snaps and also had 2 run stops and a pass breakup. So overall, looking at the linebackers, Northwestern came into this game averaging 269 yards. Wisconsin held them at 209. They came in averaging 167 passing yards. Wisconsin held them to less than half that. So I have no complaints about the linebackers.
Yeah, so the D-line here. So they had 1 of the 3 sacks. The Badgers had 3 sacks. Kurt Neal got the 1 sack for the Badgers D-line. 0 hits overall for the team, so no hits from the D-line as well. And they had 1 of the 10 hurries. It was from Cade McDonald. Held Northwestern, who was really trying to run the ball. They had 31 rushing attempts. Held them to 4.1 yards per carry. So that's pretty good when you don't really have to worry about anything else, right? And on top of the rushing yards, which is 127 total rushing yards that we gave up, some of that came from the quarterback, which Mike alluded to earlier. So just wanted to point that out. I wanted to look up how many total. Yeah, he had 55 of the 127. So really when you think about it, the rush defense was great. The D-line did their job. They're doing a really, really nice job of stringing along runs. I've been talking about it for a few weeks, but playing gap responsibility, just putting a hat on a hat and allowing the linebackers to make plays. And man, Allegro almost got into a little scuffle after that big hit he had on the quarterback. But it was like, you become an athlete when you try to run, dude. That's yep. just what it is, man. I felt the same way about Stroud when he got hit late.
I want to get hit, but take a yard off your run and go out of bounds.
Yeah.
I think it was one of you two made the point. Yes, it was a clean hit, right? But I think it was Jake who said it. But you always want to have the quarterback's back. You always want to back up your quarterback in that situation. So
I felt the same way on Sunday about the Texans. Shame on the Texans O-line. They didn't protect them all day. Oh, yeah. And then when they had an opportunity to protect them on the Packers sideline, they didn't do it then either. Yeah. So and the same thing happened in Northwestern. You know, except the lineman came and kind of protected him. It's like, I understand that. That's a mentality thing. You have to protect him. If that's your guy, you go over there. And I have no problem with any of it. It wasn't.
I was just going to say, nobody's wrong in that situation.
Yeah, Allegro didn't do anything wrong. He's being a football player. And the quarterback, Lausch, for Northwestern, he was being a football player too. That's what happens in football.
Massive, he ran a lot that game.
You know? know? It is what it is.
Every single defensive player, if they have an opportunity to hit the quarterback, they're going to hit the quarterback.
Dude, I'm telling you, in the back of your mind, you're just licking your chops. You're like, oh, yeah. I finally get this son of a bitch without having to go.
And I'm not going to get flagged for it.
One-on-one. One-on-one. You're just waiting for that as a linebacker, especially. But, you know, I thought the D-line did their job. Just what I've been asking them to do the last 3 weeks, and that's what they're doing. And look what's happening. The Badgers defense is playing, playing really well. Obviously, you look at the point differential as evidence of that. We're going to keep talking about it, by the way, because it's impressive and it deserves to be talked about as much as possible, how good they've been playing. So the defense as a unit overall, in my opinion, is playing outstanding.
All right. How do you feel about special teams?
Well, we blocked a field goal, which was awesome. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. That was cool. And then we got one blocked. That was not cool, not fun. It is what it is. That one doesn't go on Vacos, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, somebody just let up on blocking. It is what it is. But 0 for 1 on field goals for him, 3 for 3 on extra points. As long as he keeps making the extra points and the offense gives him lots of opportunities to kick extra points, can't really be upset at him, right? Bertram's, again, we keep talking about it. This guy actually might be the MVP for this team. We are lucky in this state of Wisconsin to have two punters who are absolute weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, when they go out on the field on Saturdays and Sundays, you know you're getting a big-time kick. They're going to help you play the field position game when you need to, when you're in a defensive struggle type of game. 5 for 223, 44.6 average, 57 long and 2 inside the 20. I mean, you can't ask for any more. He's been very consistent the entire year, so good job by him. Not really much to talk about on the return end of things. Just as long as they don't fumble the ball or make mistakes on blocking and anything like that, that's really what I'm looking for on kick returns. Yeah, I mean, special teams, other than getting the field goal blocked, which you can kind of cancel it out because we blocked one ourselves, I'm good.
So going to the offensive side of the ball, last week my X factor was Vinny Anthony. On the third play of the game, the Badgers took a deep shot to him. So I do think that's going to be something that continues to be part of the Badgers' offensive strategy, is to take those deep shots to Vinny Anthony, and I'm looking forward to more of them being connected on. There was a drop on a third down that Braden Locke took a shot to Vinny Anthony as well. Would have been a tough catch, but one that I think Vinny Anthony would probably tell you he should have made.
Mike's so, fighting Mother Nature over there.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
It's too sunny for
you're
October.
You're good. I'm giving you shit, dude.
There was a second on the second drive. There was a miss to Vinny Anthony as well. So it's not just on Anthony to make that connection. That's a two player connection that should be made. Third and six, Braden Locke had a miss. He underthrew one wide receiver and overthrew the other one. And it's not necessarily a bad decision, but just a bad throw. Just a miss entirely on two guys that were both potentially open. The third drive was the one where there was a snap thrown at his feet and that kind of bounced around. Good presence of mind by Braden Locke to be able to get rid of that ball, save the Badgers probably 10, 12 yards. So I did want to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. On the fifth drive that the Badgers had, Braden Locke had two really nice passes to CJ Williams, almost hit an insane touchdown to him from the 23-yard line. Ended up not counting, but it would have been crazy. So looking at it, Braden Locke on the week, 14 for 24, really just enough to keep Northwestern's defense honest. That's how I viewed it. That's what I was calling for last week, just be able to do enough in the pass game to keep their run defense honest and not be able to put 7-8 guys in the box like Braylon Allen used to not like in the Chris days. But Badgers had 359 total yards, 199 rush, 160 in the passing game. So pretty complimentary football, I'll say. So, Mike, how did you feel about the running game?
It was definitely active in this one. I mean, we had a third straight, I think, a really, really good game from Towie Walker. It was definitely more hard earned, I guess you could say, it in this game in comparison to the last 2 weeks. But he had 23 carries for 126 yards, and he had a one long run of 24, averaged 5.5 yards. So he was definitely grinding in this game, but it was still pretty complimentary. with you do have Darion Dupree as well, who had 11 carries, 40 yards. And, you know, one of the big reasons why Darion's here in the first place was for the one catch that he had, it was a 26-yard swing pass where it's just one of those scenarios where when he's out in space, he's going to be very dangerous. And I love that play call too, you know, at the time, because I know last year we did try to run that a few times and it didn't necessarily transpire as well. I think this is that play specifically was a perfect example of what we're going to be seeing a lot of in the future. You know, even going into next season when you have a combination of Dylan Jones and Darion Dupree running the show, I think it's going to be a lot of that thunder lightning punch for sure. So we got to see flashes of that, which was awesome. I am still going to keep calling for more snaps for Cade Iaccamelli. He did have the nice little goal line touchdown for us. Great play call by Phil Longo.
Absolutely.
I do remember that play from last season. It was Washington State when Chez got the ball. It was the same exact play. It was a 2-point conversion. I believe it was, but no, that was an outstanding play call. I think there was a guard that was pulling the opposite way, and Tucker Ashcraft also was pulling the opposite way. Everyone was following them. Cade was going the other way, got the pitch, beat the edge guy, and also one of the linebackers too. So, yeah, great play call. Still going to call for more snaps for Cade as we head into the Penn State weekend.
I love that play call because it was basically just saying, like, Cade, you have two guys to beat. Just be faster.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess one more point. I mean, Tommy Walker is showing that he is a legitimate, you know, RB1, you know, in the Big Ten. I mean, he's probably going to be top, maybe even top half rushing leaders when all said and done at the end of the year, like in the country as a whole, especially if he's averaging, you know, 120 to 130 yards per game the rest of the year, right? So he did mention, you know, the reason why he left Oklahoma coming to Wisconsin is because there was going to be a bigger opportunity going into it. So, and he's definitely cashing on that right now. And the way it's looking, he's definitely going to get some looks, I think, at the next level.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. Jake, so wrapping up the offense, how did you feel about the offensive line?
Man, this unit might be the most improved unit on the team, in my opinion, just from how people were looking at it. You know, the standard that is set at Wisconsin is we are O-line U, we are RBU. We run the ball. We're corn fed. We got big boys up front that like to roadblock, right? And they're still great at in the run game. They only give up 2 hurries in the pass game, 0 hits, and 2 sacks. The 2 sacks were from Ashcraft and Huber. I'm not going to get too hardcore on the sacks, especially from Huber, who has been a monster in the run game. When they run, Huber is pulling and Tawi Walker is following, and he is creating some massive holes. I think the thing that people don't appreciate enough, I guess, is 0 penalties in the run game. You know how hard it is to run the ball as effectively as the Badgers do week in and week out, and people know we're going to run the ball. I don't care who's the offensive coordinator. When you see Cardinal red and white with the W on the side, we're coming to run the damn ball. Like, that's just what it is. And to have 0 penalties every week in the run game and to still create these holes in the run game is impressive to me. I want the O-line to get their flowers, man. They deserve all the flowers, man. They have really stepped up their game the last 3 weeks. I'll tell you what, Penn State's going to be a different monster, though. That's – Tyler and I were talking. He said we went on Scary Alvarez. I was talking to Tyler before that, and I was like, how the hell does Penn State always have one goddamn guy? They always have one guy that can rush the passer. They just move on to another year, flip the calendar, like, oh, I guess you're it this year. I don't understand how they get a guy every year, man. It's
I mean, insane. We had that from, like, what, 2008 until 2020.
Yeah, but they've always had that, dude. I feel like they always have that. Like, going back to, like, the Var Arrington days, dude. Like, they always have a guy. And, yes, I just showed my age there for all the Gen Zers that are going to watch this. Like, look up LeVar Arrington. He was a bad mamma jamma back in the day, okay?
You just showed your age by saying the word mamma jamma.
Hey, I had to mix it up a little bit. I cussed too much, I think.
That's a really good point.
RG rated followers.
That's a really good point on the 0 penalties. Is there anything else you guys want to say about the Northwestern game?
Jake made a fantastic point there. That's what I was going to say.
Let me throw a win
at Northwestern. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think that special team stuff, I think that was just a tale of playing at freaking Northwestern. Not everything's going to go perfect at all. I'm just like, after that block kick, I'm just like, fuck it. freaking Northwestern.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry. I'm like, something's gotta go wrong, dude. All right.
Yep.
Keep going.
All right. The last thing that I wanted to say is we talked about this with Scary Alvarez. The people that still don't want to give any credit to what the Badgers have done over the last 3 weeks because, oh, it's just Purdue. It's just Northwestern. It's just Rutgers. They held those three teams combined to 16 points. So I looked it up, what their averages are, even after the Badgers played them and held them to very low points. Those three teams combined average 57 points a week.
Damn.
Wisconsin held them to 16.
That's pretty good.
And like, Gary brought it up. We talked about it last week, the fact that Purdue scored 49 on Illinois the week after the Badgers held them to 6.
Right. Yep.
So there's zero reasons for complaints on what the Badgers have done over the last 3 weeks because they have absolutely dominated their last three opponents.
Yes, they have.
It's crazy because you guys brought it up too. I did watch, and it's like there's like not a majority. That's not the right word. There's still a handful or a portion of like the Badger fan base deep down wants them to like fail or lose for, I'm going to say, because the whole Paul Chris thing, number one, and it's still never going to be good enough. Like, yeah, okay, let show me this, and this. Like, this is ridiculous. 117-16 or whatever it is. Are you kidding me? Like, what more could you honestly ask for defensively, especially? Because we obviously had questions, you know, especially after the first couple of weeks. Alabama for sure, USC a little bit, but I mean, they've answered the call these last 3 weeks, and how can you not? You know, you can't ask for more. You really can't. And if you are, then you know what? Go cheer for somebody else. As far as I'm concerned, because I mean, they've answered the call.
I'm gonna wrap this up real nicely here. When we went through the first 2 weeks of the season, and people had reason to had cause for concern, I'll say, because I had a little bit myself.
I did too.
And you go after the Alabama game and you're like, all right, maybe Alabama is just that good. And I do still believe that Alabama is that good, even though they've lost a few games. Then after the USC loss, you might look at this and be like, wow, we might struggle in Big Ten play this year. Like maybe the team needs a year to grow. The 3 weeks after that absolute collapse against USC, you're telling me you outscored our opponents by 111 points?
101.
101, whatever. Sorry, my bad. Numbers, a lot of ones.
Yeah, only 101.
Either way, you got to be thinking what a night and day difference this team is, what a night and day, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage, letting the athletes be athletes, the play calling on offense, the defense flying around, playing downhill and aggressive and fast. I mean, you can't ask for anything else. We're going into a big-time game against number 3 Penn State, people. Night game at the camp. How can you not be jacked up for that? I'm so ready for Saturday night, dude, because then I won't be at the pumpkin patch for one.
Yeah.
And I'll be sitting on my couch watching football. So that's going to be great. So 6 o'clock on Saturday, get here pretty quick.
All right, Mike, what are you looking for from the Badgers defense against Penn State?
So this is really it's going to be a challenge for sure. I'm going to first off say I respect the hell out of Penn State's offensive coordinator. For any fans that are watching, the offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, his previous stop was at Kansas, then Buffalo prior to that. And then one of his first stops was actually at Wisconsin Whitewater, my alma mater. He helped he was a part of two national championships when he was there at Water when Lance Leipold was at the helm. So, and fun fact, I actually took a coaching class at Whitewater, and Kotelnicki, he was actually the teacher. And one of his sayings actually is Tigger up. So meaning like your energy, like is high, like you put a smile on your face and you're ready to go. If you go on his Twitter page, I think he still might have that Tigger on his like pinned tweet. But no, his saying, fun fact, was always Tigger up. So he was a great guy. Obviously he knows his football. Penn State agrees as well. And Penn State's offense is interesting, right? Because they don't necessarily lead passing or rushing, but they sure as hell have a combination of both. And they're second in the Big Ten with average yards per game. After only getting that bye week, six games in, they're at 471 yards a game. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kolenicki does. Hey, do I attack this run defense or do I, you know, throw it a little bit? Me personally, I know they're going to obviously go. I think it's going to be, you know, Tyler Warren. They're going to try and get him involved. I think he's their best player ultimately. And I think that matchup, I think you got to stick Hunter Waller on him. I think you really do. Best defensive player and best offensive guy. I think you got to do it. And let those two duke it out, you know, one-on-one. But that is not the only guy that Penn State has. Like I said, they have a combination of both, right? I think their second best player is their running back, Nick Singleton, because he's both deadly on the ground and in the air. Similar to Darian Dupree, I would say, honestly. He's a fan of catching those swing passes on the outside. He scored 3 touchdowns off of that this year. And then in combination between passing and rushing, he's got 500 yards of total offense. So me personally, just watching and looking at the film, I do think they are going to try to establish a run though first, because if there's one thing, at least I don't want to nitpick too much, but if I'm going against the Wisconsin Badgers right now, this defense, I'm going to try and run the ball too on them before I pass into that secondary. And maybe Rigo gets a little action. Maybe he doesn't. I think he does. Drew Aller, I do think he's a little bit overrated, but he's definitely not a pushover like some may think. But it's going to be interesting, man. I think both the line and the secondary are going to get tested without a doubt. But no, it's going to be a hell of a challenge against Kolenicki in this offense.
Jake, what are you looking for from the Badgers defense against Penn State?
First of all, very well done, Mike. Congratulations. That was very well thought out. So I looked up rush attempts, yards per game, yards per rush, yards per pass completion, and yards per pass attempt. Rush attempts for Penn State, 39 per game. That's 25th in the country. 201 yards per game. That's 21st in the country. 5.2 yards per rush. That's 22nd in the country. So this team can run the ball. They're number 6 in yards per completion at 14.5 yards per pass completion. That is insane. You're getting 15 yards a crack?
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler Warren is almost unguardable, dude. I compared him to Gronk a couple weeks ago because I was like, dude, this is the new age Gronk, dude. He's so big. He runs so fluid. He runs tough. He also has the quickness. Like, he is an absolute X factor player. He is not my X factor or key. I wanted to do something different because that would have been the low hanging fruit. They are number 5 in yards per pass attempt at 10.3 yards per pass attempt. So they get 5.2 yards per rush. And on average, they average 10.3 yards per pass attempt. This team is going to try to take chunks. They're going to try to throw the ball down the field. They stretch the field horizontally and vertically. And the thing about it is why they get so many of these big...
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultra-vitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, Visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time opportunities is because I compare them to a magician, where the magician has you looking right here. He's doing all this stuff with his hands. He's doing stuff with the cards. He's doing stuff with whatever, right? He's right here. All the action's over here. So if you stay fundamentally sound, play your assignments, have gap responsibility, I think the Badgers have a chance in this game. But that is much easier said than done, is because Penn State has a very talented roster. I 100% agree with Mike. I think Drew Aller is a little bit overrated. He's also not a pushover, but with him being on number three Penn State, he may get a little bit of a big head. I think he's susceptible to putting some balls in 50-50 chances. We'll see if the Badgers make the play or not.
I gotta make a quick point. That was really good, like the whole like magic trick what you just said. When you say that, I think about literally the last time Penn State came to Madison. It was the opener. It was the year right after COVID. Camp Randall was absolutely packed. It was juiced. Not just the Big Ten opener, but the first game overall. And yep. When you did the whole magic analogy, I'm thinking, okay, we were playing a hell of a game. And then Sean Clifford, all of a sudden, the second half, throws that deep ball that Dotson, who's in the NFL, both guys are technically in the NFL, just throws an absolute deep ball. And nobody was around him at all whatsoever. So, yep. Just setting that plays like that up. You talked about big plays. I thought about that instantly once you said that. So, no, I couldn't agree more. That was a great, great point.
Thanks, man.
So, looking at it, Wisconsin allows 162 passing yards a game and 142 rushing yards per game. I'm going to be looking for the linebackers to be stout in the run game against, I wrote their names down really, really small, Nicholas Singleton and Kayron Allen. And this is what I wrote. It will be paramount, underlined, to have good coverage on Tyler Warren. Now, I don't know if that's going to be, James, welcome back. I don't know if that's going to be a linebacker, a safety, both, some of either one, one of either one. It's going to possibly be different looks to maybe try to make it harder for him than to just say, Hunter, your job is to cover this guy this week. I think they might try to mix it up. So whether it's a linebacker, safety, or somebody else, he went nuclear 2 weeks ago against USC. So the capability is there for him to do so. But the quarterback, like Jake was saying, he can be turned over. That USC game, he also had three interceptions, all at different levels of the field.
Yep.
He had one 20-plus yards, one between the 10 and 19 mark, and one from 0 to 9. Two of the three came in the middle of the field. So he can be turned over.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Jake, what are you looking for from special teams?
I say almost identical things every week. The special teams, you could be a weapon. I really am looking – I'm not looking for anybody to break out, you know, a big-time – run, just catch the ball on returns. Okay. I seriously am going to have PTSD the rest of my life on punt returns, dude, because of the Packers. They have completely ruined punt returning for me. Just wave at the ball in the air, say hi, and then meet the ball. Okay. That's all I want. I don't need nothing else. Okay. And Keyshawn Nixon is probably the worst returner in the history for me to have right now, because he just doesn't give a shit. As far as Bertram's, what can I say? Just keep doing what you're doing. And Vakos, I need you to gain a little bit of confidence, start making a little bit more field goals. I'm not going to harp on you too much, because again, the one last week was blocked, but keep doing your thing on extra points, man.
All right, Mike, what are you looking for from the offense against Penn State?
I mean, I'm going to go right to the running back room, because I think it's going to be very, very interesting. Penn State's got a sneaky good defense, man. I mean, they're ninth in scoring defense, giving up less than 15 points per game, which is I did not know that going into it. So just doing a little digging there. I mean, you're giving up only 7 points to Illinois, 11 to UCLA. I guess USC, you gave up 30, but I mean, they went on the road to West Virginia, only gave up 12. That was impressive, that season opener. But no, I still think where the Badgers are going to have to establish a run in some form. Penn State's only given up 95 yards per game on the ground, which is, it's going to be a hell of a battle. I mean, similar to Northwestern, probably a bigger challenge even. But, you know, they got two stout linebackers. I was looking at Kobe King, 30 total tackles on the year. The Badgers, I do know for a fact, were right in the middle of his recruitment. So that's a guy I'm going to be watching personally going into this. So I guess one thing that I also was looking at is that Penn State, they're on the top half of tackles for loss with 41. To give you some additional context, the Badgers only have 28. So I do, that is something to watch as well. And I think that definitely attributes to why they only give up 95 yards per game on the ground. So that's what I am looking for. Well, you guys know I'm looking for more yak carries. So that right there as well. And Tawi's going to get 20 plus carries. Maybe we see Darion do his thing, maybe get a couple more swing passes. But yeah, I still think we got to establish a run in some capacity.
So I'm going to play off of something you just said too, with the bringing up the swing passes. This is something I know I've talked about a little bit on some Packers shows at times, but it's kind of a weird phrase to say, but there's things you can do like running through the air, which is basically like those swing passes, the pop passes, the wide receiver screens, stuff like that, the short slants. There's things like that that you can do that isn't necessarily a downfield passing game, but it's just a quick way to get the ball into your wide receivers or running back's hands that isn't just a pure handoff. So other than that, Penn State, you mentioned, only allows 95 rushing yards a game. They only allow 167 passing yards a game as well. But we're talking about the number three team in the country. The Badgers are going to need both the running game and the passing game at their best to pull off the upset.
Yeah.
So for the passing game, Wisconsin is going to need to be at the top of their execution. And it's going to need to be also in the RPO and the play action situations. So it's obviously the passing game is the passing game, but everything has to be at the tip top of execution. So Jake, what are you looking for from the offense?
Yeah. So I assumed you guys were going to bring up all their offensive stats. So or their defensive stats. So I wanted to bring some rushing stats for the Badgers up, since I did that for Penn State as well. Badgers are number 21 in the country at 40.5 rush attempts per game. And they're number 28 in total yards and average 197.8. They average 4.9 yards per rush, which is 34. So the Badgers have a very, very productive, very good rushing attack, right? What does the rushing attack do for an O-lineman? Mike will know this because he is a former center. He doesn't look like it. He did the whole Joe Thomas transfer and got all skinny after he got done playing football.
Jesus.
sorry, I had to say it, dude. I wrote it down.
That's all right.
What did he do for O-lineman?
Good notebook.
I got you, bro. What did he do? What does that do for an O-lineman? It gets them going forward, and it gets them with a physical mindset. If you're going to beat number three at home, that is the mindset you need to have. You need to have a downhill. We're going to punch you in the goddamn mouth. And you know what we're going to do on second down? We're going to punch you in the mouth again. There's not a goddamn thing you're going to do about it. The Badgers need to be able to run the ball and have the O-line carry them to this win. Remember that 28 first downs we had a couple weeks ago? The O-line dominated. We need that again.
I like it. Mike, who's your X factor?
So I got Braden Locke for this one, and the reason why is because, yes, we've been able to score. We've been able to, you know, do a lot of good things. However, the last 3 weeks, if there's one thing that I am calling out, it's those interceptions, right? I'm trying to avoid those interceptions, especially in a timely fashion, I guess you could call it. I just need him to make good decisions with the ball. Don't be Superman. Right. Make good throws. If it's not there, throw it out of bounds. But I'm hoping he can avoid those timely interceptions, because that is the one thing that has been consistent the last 3 weeks, no matter who we've played. Right. So I just have a feeling in the back of my head that might happen, and it might, I don't want to say cost us the game, but it could cost us a major possession that we're on. So take care. I'm hoping Braden can just take care of the ball and just make good decisions on whatever he does.
So I'm going to jump in with mine before I go to Jake. Mine is also Braden Locke. We talked about Scary Alvarez too. He asked us something that we think that could stand to improve even after these 3 weeks. And mine was Braden Locke's decision-making. it seems that there's just a couple throws a game where he's trying to force a ball into a window that's not open. So just I'm going to simply state the same thing that I just said with the offense. We need him at his absolute best in every facet. One of the other things that I talked about when I brought up Braden Locke's decision-making, you know, we talk about his downfield throwing ability, the RPO decisions that he makes. Braden Locke, if the lane is there, take off.
He's showing up.
I'm okay with Braden Locke running the ball a little bit. You know, it doesn't need to be 6-7 times a game, but if you're looking down the field and you're like, your options are try to force the ball to somebody who's double covered or under good coverage downfield, take off, scramble a little bit. I'm okay with it. I've actually been kind of impressed with what he's done with his legs the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just an extension of that, the other two guys that I would throw out there is I'm going to throw again, Vinny Anthony. If the Badgers can connect on one of those deep shots, that's going to help the running game, because then Penn State's going to have that in the back of their mind as, oh shit, that's something that they can do.
Yeah.
So that's just one of those things where, you know, we talk about taking the top off the defense, making them have to play two steps farther back away from the line of scrimmage. And then the other one I'll throw out there is CJ Williams. He's been a third down trusted target for Braden Locke over these last few weeks as well. So if the Badgers are getting into some third down situations, CJ Williams is a guy that I trust. Obviously Will Pauling as well, but I didn't think that his name needed to be mentioned. But Jake, who is your X factor?
Nice transition, by the way, because I have Longo and Tressel, but specifically on third down situations. We didn't even plan this, by the way. This was not pre-planned. That was just beautifully done, Tyler. Penn State on average converts 5.3 out of 11 third downs per game. That is 48.2%. That's very good. It's very efficient. Badgers aren't bad, though. Badgers convert 5.7 out of 13.3 third downs per game. That's a 42.9% clip. So the team that comes out and wins third downs, wins the line of scrimmage, is going to win this football game.
I like that. Mike, what's your key?
Start fast. If there's one common thing with these last three games and what we've seen the Badgers play their best ball, we've always started fast. We've always scored right away. I got start fast. I think that's going to be key, because then you get the crowd into it, literally the whole entire game, which is obviously a big factor at night at Camp Randall, homecoming weekend, Halloween weekend. Shit, this is literally not. There's literally not a better time to pull off an upset. It's this weekend. Like
scary hours, baby.
Yes, it's scary hours for sure. So we have to start fast. I feel like we saw last week we didn't necessarily have the greatest start, and it trickled to a 7-0 game until right before halftime when the defense came up with that really good play on the goal line there and got the ball back, and we got a 14-0, but we still didn't start off fast. We still didn't play the greatest. So I think if we can start fast, make a big play, whether that's on defense, get an interception or a fumble recovery, or, you know, obviously score on one of our first two possessions, I think that's going to go a long way.
I like that. Jake, what's your key?
All right. I have the two P's of football: physicality and poise. You have to come with a physical mindset. I view this as one of those games that's going to be like a modern old school Big Ten game. And I know that's like a mouthful and almost hard
modern to understand. Modern old school.
It's going to be modern because of all the shifting and pre-snap motion and the misdirection, but it's going to be old school in the fact that it's going to be a slobber knocker, dude. There's going to be people just absolutely laying down the law. Penn State doesn't bow down to anybody. They're one of the blue bloods in this conference, in my opinion. And the Badgers have been a very good team in this conference. Penn State right now is number one in the Big Ten. Badgers have snuck all the way up to number four. So this is a big-time matchup in Madison. So also with poise, listen, there's going to be times when we're trailing in this game. That doesn't mean you just hit the panic button. It means you go out there, you deal with your shit like a man, you get us the lead back, and then you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again until that final buzzer sounds and we're victorious.
So definitely a good point on the panic button to not press that early in the game. Definitely can use some of that in the fan base. For me, my key is to rely on the defense. We talked about it multiple times. They've only allowed 16 points in the last 3 weeks. The Badgers defense, I believe, is capable of great things.
All right.
All right, Mike, what's your score prediction from the head?
So going into this year, I said this on the primer. This game against Penn State is arguably the most important game on this schedule. Why do I say that? We have not beaten Penn State since 2011, since Russell Wilson. We need to get this game. Like, we have to find a way. This is one of those, because Penn State, and this goes more than just this game, in my opinion. I think this has a lot to do with recruiting as well, because it's going to have a lot to do with recruiting. We got a lot of recruits coming on this week, and that's besides the point. But you see Penn State and Wisconsin duke it out all the time lately when it comes to recruits. We've seen it. We got recruits coming in from Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Wisconsin's got two guys from the 2024 class that went to Penn State, both from Catholic Memorial High School this year. So that's a fun fact in case the audience didn't know. But these two schools duke it out all the time with recruiting. And I think this game is actually going to maybe play a factor, you know, going forward. Because, again, we have not beaten Penn State since 2011. We need to get back to that. We need to get a big win, because that's getting closer to when we beat Ohio State last, which is a long time ago, right? That being said, from the head, I got 14-20 Penn State.
All right. Jake, what do you have from the head?
I have 10-9 Penn State.
Wow.
Dude.
That's wild, dude.
It's going to be a slobber knocker. I feel like there might be a little bit of sloppiness. Maybe some turnovers. Maybe people not being able to live up to the pressure on both sides. I think Penn State's going to have a hard time playing at Madison. I think the crowd's going to be into it.
So for the head, for me, I have 27-16 Penn State.
Okay.
All right, Mike, what do you got from the heart?
Because of it, I said it was the most important game of the year. Arguably, we got to win this one. So I'm going to go 27-24. From the heart, and it definitely starts up front. Wisconsin,
high five.
Yeah, 27-24. I think there is a chance. I still think we've seen enough, in my view, that the offensive line can carry a game. We can carry it, and then it's just all about the execution. We have not talked about one bit about protecting Braden Locke at all, really, this whole entire year. The offensive line has been given plenty of opportunities to Braden to make those big time plays. And that goes back to my X factor. Just take care of the ball, just make good, smart throws. But it's going to start with that offensive line, because they have carried us these last few weeks. No, make no mistake about it. Complete 180 from last year. One of the most penalized teams in the big, penalized units in the Big Ten. We were talking about it every single week with the penalties. So they've come a long way. Blazek's going to have them ready to go, I feel like. And just starts with the boys up front, but kind of what Jake mentioned before. And that's how we're going to get this done.
So I also have 27-24. If you couldn't tell by the virtual high five that I was giving Mike. we've seen the Badgers do good things in the passing game. We've seen Badgers do good things in the running game. If there's a scenario where the Badgers can put it all together, I believe they can score 27 points against Penn State. Talking 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals. That's what I'm looking for. And just for the Badgers defense to keep enough of a lid on them for the Badgers to win by a field goal.
I like it. I view this game as very low scoring. I have the Badgers winning 16-13.
Oh, hell yeah.
I can see that.
Talk about getting your Saturday started going good, man. Imagine winning 16-13 versus Penn State. I'd be livid, bro. I'd be like, let's fucking go, dude.
Yep.
All righty. Well, Mike, thanks for hopping on with us again. Next Wednesday, we are going to have an Iowa Hawkeye podcaster joining the show to talk about the Badgers in Iowa. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. And we are going to appear on their podcast later next Wednesday evening as well. So we're going to have a little bit of cross-examination coming from behind enemy lines, but Brandon, who runs the Hawkaholics podcast, is going to join us. He's a Wisconsin sports fan for everything else except for college. So he's only partially a bad guy, but he's like 75% good guy. So he's going to join us next week, and then we're going to join his show. But Mike, we will see you next Wednesday as well.
Sounds good, fellas. Go Bucks. Bucks and six, baby. Let's get started.
Alrighty, so you and I, we still have two things to do yet.
Yeah.
Very fun things to do. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do our record predictions from the head and the heart for mm-hmm. the Bucks in their 2024-2025 season. And we're going to do our bold predictions. So, starting with record predictions, give me your Bucks record prediction from the head.
Dude, you have no idea how many times I crossed this out. I was like, bro, I don't know what to write down right here. And then I was like going through the schedule month by month. I tried to do like a thing where I wrote down Eastern Conference games, record against East, record against West, division record. I was going crazy. I had to start a whole new page to do this, dude. From the head, I went 55-27.
From the head, I went 53-31.
All right, we're pretty close. I felt like I was being a little optimistic, I'm not going to lie. But I was like, they can get 55 wins, dude. They have Damon.
They absolutely can. All right. Big question. What do you have from the heart?
So I didn't bump them up too much. I tried to keep it still realistic within the realm of possibility. But I went 2 seed, 58-24.
Virtual high fives.
Hell yeah.
I also have 58-24 second in the East.
I'm going to write that down.
Nicely done, us.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. You have 53
for the head, yep.
For the head. All right, what's up, man? Let's do some bold predictions, dude.
Ready to get bold. All right. So I have one like pretty simple one, and then I have two that I really thought about and I really put some work into. So I'm ready to get into these. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'm gonna go first.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you my one that I think would shock people, but I think it wouldn't be the most shocking thing. Giannis and Dame, both first team all NBA, and they both score 2,500 total points.
Okay.
I had to put a little caveat on there because I was like, I can't just say both first team all NBA. I mean, that's happened before. But both of them scoring 2,500 points would be insane.
So I did put the All-NBA thing on there.
Uh-huh.
But I have the Bucks have three All-NBA players. Giannis is first team, Dame is second team, and Chris is third team.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that a lot, man. That's good. Nicely done.
All right. Give me your second one.
All right. My second one is Dame will make 300 threes. Giannis will win Defensive Player of the Year and be the second ever unanimous MVP.
I like that. That's tough,
especially in today's NBA with all the talent, the Eastern Conference in general. I mean, there's a lot of talented players. I mean, unanimous MVP this year would be insanity.
And there's a lot of – if they don't want to admit it, there is a such thing as voter fatigue. So, yep. Like, there's going to be people who just want to vote for Anthony Edwards because he's different.
Yep.
Or they're going to want to vote for Shea because he's different.
Yep.
It's somebody other than Giannis, Jokic, or Wembanyama, or Embiid, or, you know, Harden. Like, it's somebody different than we've seen in the last 6 or 7 years.
Okay, I got to say something. If Embiid gets another goddamn MVP vote ever again, I swear to God.
He shouldn't have won.
Anyways. Go ahead with your second one, buddy.
All right. My second one is that Pat Connaughton has a bounce back year as the Bucks Swiss Army knife. Now, here we go. 37% three-point shooting, matching his rate from the championship year.
Okay.
113 defensive rating, matching the two seasons before last year, and a career high in assists. So, I think his... Actually, I shouldn't even say think. His 2024 season was his highest career assist year at 2.1. So I think that's where the Swiss Army knife part comes in. I think he's going to average more than that this year. I think he's going to be a little bit of a kind of a distributor, but, you know, just kind of a Swiss Army knife.
Okay. I like it, dude. You know me and you. We Pat Connaughton boys, so I'm with it.
James, I don't think Embiid deserved his MVP. I think he cried his way to it.
I think so too. My opinion on what do I feel about what Giannis said, I think Giannis is playing chess, not checkers, if you get what I'm saying. I think he's playing mind games with Tatum since Tatum likes to think he's the best in the world all the time. I actually think Brown is the best player on that team as well.
I agree. And I think part of that is that Brown won the finals MVP. He was the best player on the best stage. So
Brown is a more consistent defender. He's not afraid. Tatum may say that he's not afraid, but look at the eyes, buddy. Brown is better. Yeah, that's just how I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, give me your last bold prediction.
Doc Rivers will win Coach of the Year.
Ooh, I like
that. Like that one?
I like that one.
First one I wrote down, actually.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that one. All right. My last one is that Bobby Portis finally gets his sixth man of the year. Here we go. So I'm not sure that he's going to reach the 47% three-point shooting that he had in the championship season, but he's been burying threes at a very high rate so far in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And my bolder part of this is I think he could be more ready to bang down low defensively. Looking at the roster that was put out by Eric Name, Bobby has gained 12 pounds.
Oh.
He's listed on the roster that Eric Name put out at 262 pounds.
Oh, he's trying to be a little bit more defensive. Okay, I see you.
Bobby put on some beef.
Bobby put on beef. I like that.
Goldfish got swapped into a bigger tank and he expanded a little bit.
I like it. I like it a lot, man. Nice.
All righty. Well, there we have it. Our record predictions and our bold predictions for the Bucks. Very excited to see if any of these can come true or if all of them can come true. That would be absolutely insane. But we appreciate it, James. Welcome back. Appreciate the comments. And other than that, we will be back next Wednesday. We have Bucks games to recap next Wednesday.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. We get to watch the Bucks in like an hour, dude.
About an hour and a half. I'm very excited.
Let's go,
all right. And we got Badger football and a Packer game this weekend. It's going to be a good weekend for Wisconsin sports. And we'll be back next Tuesday to cover the Packers and next Wednesday again to cover the Bucks and Badgers football. So we will see you then.